The committee section here to facilitate that process, and I think I must thank you, Uyoka Zizere, and Mandika, and others for quickly attending to this particular issue. We, and I also want in particular to welcome and thank the state law advisor for joining us to deliberate on this issue, Mrs. Sangoni. I'm not making a mistake. There is Sangoni and Abo Sokoni. And there's always a confusion from people who know those two surnames and people. And I also want to thank in particular the people from the department who have also joined us. We requested that they join us in these deliberations. I also want to in particular to welcome and thank the CEO of the Health Professions Council, Advocate Boyce Mkhize, and his team was also join us. Once again, welcome in particular to honorable members that we together again to deliberate on this issue. I now see there are two members on the DA, am I right? Or one of them is an observer? There's a spokesperson, Mr. Mike Waters. He joined us in the visit to the Eastern Cape. There's a deputy who's technically not new, although I think she's now new. She ran away to work Home Affairs. So she realized that she can't solve the problems of Home Affairs and deciding to come back home. Honorable Sadie Kalyan, thank you very much for rejoining us in our committee. Honorable members, we have we did pass the amendments, rather not amendments, the Health Professions Amendment Bill as a portfolio committee. And then having done that, it was then referred, as is normal, to the NCOP for consideration. And the NCOP then deliberated, and I am informed they came back with a set of amendments which are reflected in the document B10C. We all have that. Thank you very much. And therefore, you will then find P10D, which now is a bill as amended by the NCOP, by the Select Committee on Social Services, NCOP, which is P10D. We have that as well. Thank you very much. Welcome, Florence. Last time we had, I'm so sorry, the Honorable Baiki, you were not well. I can see you looking now well and fresh. Thank you very much. And look after your health. Thank you very much, Honorable Baiki. B10D. So what we will then have to do, we then have to consider and see if we so agree with the amendments of the NCOP and then I think then the rest of the process is a process we all know. So we'll be considering the 10C and the 10D, because we can't deal with the one we dealt with last time. Am I right? Are we together? I don't mind at my own speed. Mom kids are sweet.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay. Now
Okay, so you're going to take us through the amendments?
Yes, Chairperson, we can do that. Chairperson, thank you, honorable members. We, as a department, we can take you through the amendments. We.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, we went through the Bill B10D of 2006, and we have prepared a documentation that will also assist in this process to make it easier. There are a number of errors that we have identified.
Yeah, that's correct.
I'm Rose Zalosi from the National Department of Health, HR.
I'm Mwigit Mutsapi from Legal Services, National Department of Health.
I'm Tepo Vigoni, Head of Legal Services, HPCSS.
HPCSS.
Ronnie Green Thompson, Vice to the Minister of Health.
Thank you very much. Okay. We'll get to know them if we continue.
Thanks, Chairperson. Through your guidance, Chairperson, I'm not sure if but the B10C details all the amendments that were approved by the NCOP. My question is, can I maybe explain why we have the amendments, the proposed amendment by the NCOP? Because I take it that the bill has now been the B10B was approved by the portfolio committee. Maybe it would be easier if I go through B10C just to explain the amendments that we propose to. Thanks. I'm going to refer honorable members to B10C of 2006. We start on page 2. Definition of health practitioner. We requested that we insert the definition of health practitioner because this is the way that we use to define a person who is registered in terms of the Act. the Health Professions Act, and public representative. This is to make a distinction between a member of the community as appointed by the minister who sits as a member of the council in the council itself, and a public representative. A public representative is a person who is appointed by the council in order to assist the council to serve in the committees like the disciplinary committees and other committees established by the council. This public representative is a person who will not be a member of the council, but rather a person who is not registered in terms of the act, who is going to assist the council. The council had also recommended that we have a person such as this one so that it helps them in appointing people who are not members of the council or who are not registered with the council to assist in these committees, because they had a problem in always wanting people that are regarded as members of the council to serve in these committees. Due to their limited number in the council, sometimes you find that they are not able to serve in those committees. So in this regard, the council is therefore authorized to appoint people to serve as a public representative in the subcommittees. These are not members of the council. And then in line clause 12, on page 10, line 9, substitute the word community for public. This is just what I've been explaining. It's a consequential amendment. Once we say a person is a community, member or a person who represents the community, that refers to a member of the council. So we are substituting community for public, so that you can have a reference to the public representatives that I alluded to earlier. And in
you've gone on to point two and point one, but I'm looking at the first point, the definition of health practitioner. You didn't address that. Mm-hmm. The student, with the word student. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. Would you please explain it again?
What I said was that the health practitioner, as it stated, there means any person, including a student, registered with the council in a profession registrable in terms of this act. We wanted to be consistent with the wording that we use in the act and in the amendment bill, which refers to health practitioner. So health practitioner, as it stated there, it's a person who is registered in terms of the act, and that includes a student. So that any person who is registered in terms of the act, the council is able to deal with that, you know, with the registration of that person or the conduct of that person. And in clause 40, the recommendation or the proposal that we made is a result of the case of Mohajani versus the Northwest Gambling Board, which we also referred to the Constitutional Court. And in terms of that judgment, it was stated that people who are appointed as investigating officers in order to investigate certain things that fall under the gambling board, those people cannot be given carte blanche powers to do as they wish or to investigate and enter premises as they wish. But rather, we should link that particular responsibility with a requirement to approach the magistrate or a judge for a search warrant. If you look at the current section in the Act, it actually empowers the investigating officer to, with or without a warrant, to enter premises, search and seize certain documents or evidence, certain documents that may relate to a particular investigation. So in this regard, we are saying the investigating officer can only carry out the investigation subject to paragraph H, carry out an investigation in terms of this section. That investigating officer must apply to the magistrate or judge for a search warrant for premises or to search any person whom the investigating officer on reasonable grounds believes to have in his possession certain things. I must emphasize that the investigating officer will only investigate and search and seize any document or evidence that relates to the conduct of the practitioner as that practitioner is registered in terms of the Act. So the MB in purview of the responsibilities and powers of the investigating officer will squarely fall within the Act itself. It will not be an investigation in terms of the Criminal Procedure Act, but rather an investigation as it is an investigation that is linked to the registration of that person in terms of the Act. So, you honourable members will obviously know that the Act empowers the Council to regulate the conduct, amongst other things, to regulate the conduct of people registered in terms of the Act. So, in respect of that registration, so the investigating officer will have the power to investigate anything that relates to that registration. So, this section is against the backdrop of that Mukhajani case, which is a judgment by the Constitutional Court.
Asian Chief Sen, Honourable Kelly and I went here when the original bill was discussed, so we might ask obvious questions, so you just have to bear with us for a while till we find our feet. But I'm surprised. No, of course not. I'm just dealing with you the minute. Just saying it's an obvious question, just forgive us. But surely only law enforcement agencies can have a search warrant. Or isn't it in conflict with any other legislation? Have you checked this particular section with other legislation, it's not in contradiction to other legislation. That we can appoint an investigating officer who can then get a search warrant and go and search premises and seize documents. I mean, surely that's a law enforcement responsibility.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, in my explanation of why we wanted the NCOP to insert this clause to replace the one that we had in B was because the council itself, firstly, the council is a statutory body, and I also said that the person who is going to be appointed as an investigating officer will only investigate as far as it concerns the registration of that person in terms of the Act. So this person is not given carte blanche powers to go and investigate, say for instance, if there is any criminal suspicions or anything like that, but it is in line with, it's only as far as it concerns the registration of that person in terms of the Act. And to also respond to honourable member that we did ensure that this is in line with the Mukhajani case as was delivered by the Constitutional Court, and it is also not contradictory to the Criminal Procedures Act, which empowers the police to do certain searches and seizures in terms of that particular Act.
And I'm sure all of us will move from the premise of understanding the function of the local authority. Mm-hmm. And the part of this is to enforce the investigation, to do good, to get local contact, to raise them, to especially to search. And as therefore, we have to give them certain powers to enforce this model. This has to work out.
Thanks, Chair. Relating to Clause 44, Clause 44, Chairperson, in the B version, we had initially proposed that regulations be made by the Minister to regulate unprofessional conduct. Currently, unprofessional conduct is regulated in terms of the rules made by the Council. So there was a proposal that we changed that, but in the MCOP, we found it to be prudent to leave it as it is in terms of the current Act, to leave the council or to authorize the council to make rules relating to offenses that is relating to unprofessional conduct. And in paragraph D, we currently, the council has, as I said, has the power to make rules relating to unprofessional conduct. And the proposal in the B version was that the minister should do that. So what you are saying is that we should maintain the status quo so that council continues to make rules relating to unprofessional conduct. Can I move to Clause 53, Chairperson? Clause 53... Clause 53 was a technical kind of amendment. Initially, we had proposed that the professional board be replaced with the council, and this is what we are still saying, except that we have included the last part of that subsection, which is underlined, which says, and the profession and registration category in which they hold registration. This is just to make it clearer, so that the fee, according to whether it is paid before and after that, we also consider the profession and registration category in which such persons are registered. And the last proposal was for the Act to take effect on a date fixed by the President by proclamation in the Gazette. We had in the bill as approved by the Portfolio Committee, we only had this Act is called the Health Professions Amendment Act 2007, without saying that it will take effect on the date fixed. The result of that is that once the President assents to the bill, then it will have immediate immediate effect. So by this we are saying that it will have effect once we are ready with the regulations, once we are ready to implement. This is just a question of implementation. Once we are ready to implement the amendment bill or certain sections of the amendment bill, then the such particular sections will take effect. Chairperson, those are just the proposals that we had as they are detailed in C, in version C. Through you, Chairperson, I'm not sure if you would want me to go through the corrections that we have identified in D, in version D. On page 2, under the objects of the bill, it's line 13. Please bear with us on that one. It's not line 13 as indicated on the numbering of the lines of the bill, but rather in the bold section of the bill. Line 13 of that bold section must be deleted as it pertains to section 49(1) of the Principal Act, which is now retained as per the amendments. I think this relates to the question seizure issue that I explained. Number two, on page 6, line 19, it says, by the substitution in subsection 1 after paragraph H for paragraph G, this Greek gives the impression that paragraph G will only come after paragraph H. So we are just saying that it must be deleted as paragraph G cannot come after paragraph H. And then point number 3 is on page 8. Page 8, line 7. A comma, we request that a comma be inserted between the Waste Appeal Committee and there, that is on page, on line 7. Okay, and line 18 on the same page, page 8, the word also is missing between the words may and delegate, and this makes the section read tautological. These are just technical things that we thought should be included. And in line 31, the proposal was that the heading of financing of council should be deleted and substituted with the heading corporate finance and governance. So therefore, we are requesting that before the new insertion, we should indicate the heading that is being deleted in that section 13.
So, line 31.
Yes. In terms of the principal act, Chairperson, the heading is financing of council. Now we are deleting that financing of council, replacing it with corporate finance and governance. So for purposes of being pragmatic, we are saying the financing of council should be indicated as being deleted, and then the new insertion be corporate finance and governance.
I just want to check elsewhere this section on its own, because the bill has already been debated in the MA. Will it not bring some sort of conflict at the end of the day? Because I could see there's sort of a main amendment that you are trying to do. I just want to check and for clarity purposes, because we are already done with the bill in the end.
We'll come back to the question.
Okay.
Thanks, Chairperson. On page 14, line 46. Requesting that the word Technicon be deleted as these institutions no longer exist. Line 46. You will note that in the bill, Technicon is underlined instead of being bracketed and bolded. So we had initially requested that it be deleted. On page 18, line 36. That the word may must come after the word council for consistency throughout the text. Usually the may should be immediately after council. So it should read the council may, comma, after consultation with the professional board. And then move to page 22. On page 18, the first line on page 18, there's a typographical error at the end of the first line, international protocols instead of protocols.
Chair, I just want to make a clear understanding when I read that amendment on page 18, on line 36. I just want to get Mr. Motsepe correctly. As well, he said the council may then, comma, after consultation with a professional board, may. We must delete this may. Okay.
So let's take the may first. Thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you, sir. Like on page 22, line 20 is technical. Page 22, line 20. You see, honourable members will note that the technical is underlined instead of deleted. Page 24, line 37. The way the paragraph is written takes away the discretion of the magistrate or judge when an application is made for a search warrant. So we are saying we should replace the word must with may, so that the magistrate and judge remain with the discretion whether to grant a search warrant or not grant a search warrant. Line 56 on the same page. It says here it is executed or cancelled by the magistrate or judge. It must be or judge, magistrate or judge. Then line 57, line 57, it says the judge who issued it or is such person, it must, the word is between the words or and such must be such that is the word if. Judge who issued it or if such person is not available. It's not if such person, it's if such person. 57. On page 24. Such person. Page 25, line 16. Chairperson, from line 16 up to line 50 must be deleted, as same is substituted in line 14 on page 24 to line 15 on page 25.
Line
16 to line 50 must be deleted. It's the same as line 15 in page
24. Okay. All together.
Page.
From 15 to line 16, when it is if the registrar, and it ends up with him.
Chairman, mm. Just clarify that this actually is a retention of the old section, which we were actually replacing with the new 41. So that's why it was retained when we had the new thing, and so it becomes contradictory to the new order that we're seeking to introduce. So that's why it's been deleted.
Page 22, line 25. Page 22, line 25. Where it refers to. I'm sorry about that. It should be line 21. Line 21. Line 21, where it says provided that not less than two of the original members of the committee are available to continue with the inquiry. The proposal is that it should be four. This is just to ensure that if there is a committee established, for instance, to deal with professional conduct, if there are members of that committee that decide to withdraw from the committee, the committee can only continue if at least there are four members of the original members that started with hearing the case when it started. So we shouldn't have new members to continue with a case that they did not, for instance, hear the evidence that was provided when they made the comment. Page 33, line 31 to 50, to be replaced with the following. We have provided, in fact, this one is similar to the one that was explained by our committee. We had requested in the NCOP to have the new, the first one, the one that is next to 53, but instead the one that is next to 52 underneath was left was not deleted in the D version. So I have, attempted to sort of guide the committee as to how it should look like. That at 53 is going to be the following section, is hereby substituted for 52 of the principal acts, and then we have that section or subsection followed by subsection 2, 3, and 4. So this, the proposal that we have in the document that I provided honorable members with, will therefore replace the text that we have in the G version. If you look at the one above, it's the same as the one that we have underneath, that the one that should have been deleted from the NCOC approved version.
So you are saying the page that it says line 31,
yes,
which ends with person, am I right?
Line 31 to 50. Chairperson, I must apologize. You know, we have been using a different version to a different kind of version to this one. But in the version that honorable members have, I'm going to refer members to line 27. From line 27 until 47. Yeah, until line 47. Line 27 to line 47. You'll note that there are two subsection 1, which are the same.
I understand it. So, line 27, classification of subsection of section 2.
Yes.
So is that written?
Yes, sir.
Profession and registration category in which we will hold the
registration.
The same is asked for the data.
Yes.
On that line, thank you for the name.
And to replace the
can be replaced with the version that we have in the document that we provided members with. As I said, Chairperson, this, if you look at the D version, one of the subsections, the one that is next to 62, should have been deleted and replaced with the one above. But I think it was a printing error or something, but that should have been the case. So this is just to make it clearer on this document, just to make it clearer that this is the version that is going to remain in the D version.
So the version remaining will start from 16 testing higher.
That will be subsection 2.
Yeah.
Yes. But the subsection 1 will be the one in this document.
Could I just maybe add some clarifications here? If you notice 53.1, which starts from line 29 up to line 35, 36, is exactly the same with 62.1, which is starting from line 39 to line 46 or 47. Yeah. So those two sections are the same. One of them was supposed to be out, but they were both retained. And also the reorganization that is being proposed is actually as in this document, which is just circulated, where it will start with saying substitution of section 62 of Act 56 of 1974 as substituted by section 62 of Act 89 of 1997. And immediately below that, we will then have 53. And 53 will read the following section is hereby substituted for section 2 of the Principal Act. That you find on line 37. So that sentence there moves up immediately to below that major subtopic, which is bold. And the next thing that follows is then 62.1, which is that section
immediately appearing under levying of annual fees on certain registered persons starting at line 39. So that section there remains as is. The one on top on 53.1 gets deleted altogether. No, Chair, the
53.1,
and then 52.2 will be the one on page 3. That's page 2. Okay, what we're simply saying is, if you look at 53.1, yes, 53, yeah, which we're deleting, yes, that goes out, and immediately, what then happens is that you move up that 2, which says in brackets, the following section is hereby substituted, you move that one up, yes,
you move. You're saying let's delete all of them.
No. I was saying you, yeah.
So, number 2, I said, the following section.
Yes.
It moves up,
yes.
Okay.
And next to it, it will actually, you delete the 2 in brackets, you substitute that for 53. So it just becomes 53 in terms of numbering.
We delete the 2 in brackets.
The 2 in brackets?
No.
The following. The number 2, that is in brackets. Yes. The number 2 in brackets. That number 2, you substitute it for 53. Just put 53 next to it, and then, yeah, so it will be 53, full stop, and then the following section is hereby substituted.
Okay.
And then what follows thereafter is levying of annual fees on certain registered persons. That 52.1 then remains as is. It follows right up to the end.
Yes.
Then
the
52.1
remains.
Yes.
Yes, it remains. Section 53 is actually amending section 52 of the Principal Act.
Then it will be 53
and
52. Now,
okay.
It means this
52.1,
yes,
is
the
same 52.1. Yes. So that remains.
So,
you confused us by the word delete. Because now we're deleting
instead of reorganizing.
No, you needed to delete the 53, Chair.
Yeah.
That's the starting point. 53 gets out.
Gets out.
Yes. And then 2 moves up to the place where 53.1 was.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then the rest of the section remains. It follows like that. Living annual fee 62.1 remains.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're not really that further confusion.
Yeah.
Okay. So this one will not is not applicable. But it's the same person.
Yeah.
Alright?
Yeah.
62.1.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same. Chair. What
has done was just to show you how it will appear in the presentation in its totality. Yeah. But it still basically addresses the same principle. That's what he's done. Yeah. That's how it will appear in this document.
Can I just make something clear? Section, first of all, section 53 of this version amends 62 of the Principal Act. So what you are proposing, Chairperson, is that I'm going to differ slightly with Advocate Ntuli. The one under 62.1 that you have in the D version, I'm going to request members to also refer to C version. The C version the version. That's the part that should be in 62.1. So this one that is next to 62.1 in the D version, that's the one that should be deleted.
We are saying clause 53 on page
8.
In the D version.
In the D version. No, I'm talking about page 3. I'm talking about page on page
32.
On page 32, to insert the following subsection. The minister name.
I think back to normal is a crazy couple of weeks for you.
No, I can't contend. I'm not the president.
I will write it so we can just take it. Can we just speak to the to David? Oh, okay. What you are saying, sir, is that if you look at page 33 of the D version, page 33 of the D version, from line 36, 7, 8, from line 38 until line 47. That's the subsection 1 that should be deleted. That's the subsection that should have been deleted from the version from
see from the B version that came from the NCOP. That should have been deleted and replaced with the one that we have from line 29 to line 36 of the same page. And then, but before that paragraph, what should have been inserted next to 53 should have been the sentence that is next to subsection 2, that is line 37. That says the following section is hereby substituted for section 62 of the Principal Act.
Now, so that section will go after S. Any representation that may wish to make in regard to S. Over.
No, sir.
And page, and then there's two, the council shall have that presentation, and then we'll be fixed. That's my next question.
Oh, okay. Yes. So what I'm saying, Chair, and honourable members, is that 39 to 47 is deleted on page
39 to 47
is deleted. However, the one that is next to paragraph subsection 2, that is the 2 in brackets, the following section is hereby substituted for, that should move up, but without the 2 in brackets. Yeah, it moves immediately after 53. It will be 53 full stop, the following section is hereby substituted for section 62 of the Principal Act. And then, we.
So the section that was here, the following section here, by the substitution for section 52 on the following principal text goes up.
Yeah.
Above substitution.
No, just below. Next to 53. Yeah, it will look exactly the same as in the document that I provided.
So we're deleting 62-1.
Yes, 62-1.
We are equally deleting 53-1.
No.
The one under 53-1 is not being deleted. They are almost the same, but this is the one that we want to have, the one under 231, from line 29 and to line 30.
That one, not automatically.
Yeah, it's the same as the
So we're not deleting this one?
No, we're not deleting. We just want to reorganize
But Chair, it becomes, instead of 53-1, it becomes 62-1. Yes. And the caption, levying of annual fees, will move up as well to appear immediately after the following section is hereby substituted for section 62, which will be 53. So it will move immediately below that. That caption. Yeah. Yes. And then that 53-1 becomes 62-1, and it remains as is. So that will be the flow.
Thanks, Jenny. Basically, under this section, this is what we requesting that it be done. And then on page 34, line 22, just says short title instead of short title and commencement. So we are requesting that the words "and commencement" must be added immediately after the words "short title." That is in the heading. Basically, that's the long and short of our presentation. So, thanks.
So we go back. What else? You were being taken through this particular question in common. Now we are going to request you all on that. They say your name.
Before we start, the DA has to reserve its rights because we haven't discussed this with our caucus yet. I'm sorry. We have to take it to our caucus, so we reserve our rights. Thank you.
Well, again, reserve your rights, but this is the first time in the life of the portfolio committee to have such a precedent. First time. We've had new members before, and they've actually joined the deliberation of the legislation without this precedent you are creating. And I don't think it should be adopted by the committee. We can't actually accept such a situation. It will mean every time the DA changes, the committee must start afresh. Unprecedented in life. I think if this is how you're going to start your work in this portfolio committee, Mr. Waters, you're going to find it very, very difficult to work with us. It has never happened. Honorable Baji, Honorable Mkabindi, Honorable Mamu Rajpali. I mean, she was not even part of the first deliberation. But she has the bona fides of the deliberation that took place earlier on. Otherwise, it means there must never be work until such time that DA sorts out his house. That's unprecedented. It is. Honorable Rajpali now here, she's new. She has not been part of the deliberation of this legislation before.
Maybe she's
caucused
the members of her colleague. I don't know.
How do you know?
Maybe.
No, don't make such assumptions. But all what I'm saying as a chair, we're rejecting your thing. We're proceeding. We're going to adopt this legislation. We'll deliberate it, whether the DA says yes or no. Thank you very much. Let's proceed. I'm just saying you're setting a terrible precedent. I hope one day you're going to reflect yourself and see what constructive input you are making in the life of our committee here. I'm just saying this quite advisable. We've never had this experience before, even with the previous colleague. Never had this experience. But all what I'm saying that if the DA is going to function in this way, lo and behold,
may I just make a comment? It's the first time we've seen the NCOP amendment. And the normal practice is that we take it back to our caucuses, we discuss it, and get a mandate from caucus on how to vote on the book.
I think that's all what I'm saying there.
All my colleagues is saying.
All what I'm saying is Sandy, your colleague before this should have actually told you this process. You were part of the
deliberation. He was not aware, consulted.
You were part of the deliberation of the
sorry. He was not aware.
You were part of the deliberation.
Chairperson, I take your point. He's given me his notes up to this point.
All what I'm saying, I'm making a ruling as a chair. We are voting on this bill today. We'll debate on it. In fact, we debated on this bill, as Honorable Matsunaga was saying. We'll then have to make a determination whether we need another debate on it. At that point, the chair will ask for any comments as well. But we can't be held hostage by the DA. I reject you completely. Completely. Please. You can always say them and shout at the top of the mountain. Process proceeds. We go to, Mrs. Lisangoni and the team. This is, I'm sure you've gotten used to some of these things. This is part of your life. Let's start with the NSOP one, honored members, which is C. There is a proposal on page 3, health practitioner. It includes the student, and I think it has been explained. Agreed. Thank you very much. Public representative, which is a new insertion on line 30, and I think on page clause 1. Agreed. Thank you very much. And then page 10, clause 12, I think. Consequential, replace community for public. Agreed. Thank you very much. Page 24. Page 24 to insert the following section that was section as explained by Mr. Mutapi. That starts with that your line 15, an investigating officer carry out an intense of section may request any person to, and then it actually applies all those things.
The amendment
the Are we all together?
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes.
Thank you very much. That takes us to 44. Close 44. Page 27.
First
page 24,
the magistrate would charge
the
and the official in terms of paragraph
is made
late,
the
third one.
Oh, yes.
Not
must. Okay. That's page 24. Yeah. Thank you very much. And then 27, line 14. You were changing A, unprofessional conduct, and B, the council has. Am I right? That's line 14.
Where am I now? I'm lost. Oh, to the third. I'm looking at the wrong page. Are we all together?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yes.
Thank you very much. And then we we will write to correct it as 33 instead of 32.
Chapter is 32 in the B.
In the B
version.
In the B version from the NA.
Yes.
It's 33 from the NCOP.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I don't want to go back to that work session. I think it was the one that sort of caused a bit of confusion. We all understand it now, how the whole reorganization is taking place. Agreed? And then, 58 was still on the C, no? 58 on a date fixed by the president. Are we still together?
Mm-hmm.
And then these are the other amendments that were made. I think that is page 2 under objects of the bill, line 13 must be deleted. Line 13, are we all together? As it just pertains to 49(1) of the principal, which is now retained as per NCOP amendment. 1.1. We're dealing with the Health Professions Amendment Bill. That was this document that was presented by the department, the HPCSA. We all got it, no? So we're deleting line 13. Page 2. I'm going to push our
seat. Just to explain, as was explained earlier on, that still makes provision for the minister to make regulations relating to unprofessional conduct, and yet the amendment that was proposed and agreed to was to the effect that that power would actually remain with the council, which determines the standards in terms of ethics, etc. So that's why its retention on the object of the bill there is actually becomes superfluous and no longer necessary, because the principal act as it was actually remains.
To provide for the minister.
Yes,
We're
deleting that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Are we together? Page 6. I think you remember the page, the phrase after paragraph must be deleted, the paragraph B cannot come after paragraph B.
Because now we on B or D?
B.
On D.
On D. And then D, and we're using this one. The D was the one that came from the letter.
Thank you.
But now, page 6, to delete that thing, you can't say GHG, you say GHG. Page 8, comma, after appeal. We together? Yeah. And then, the council request for this. And then line 18, delegates, also, the country also may delegate. Agreed? Okay.
heading finance of countries must come before the head. The heading corporate finance and government. Same page, line 31. Then, page 14, agreed?
Agreed.
Then, page 14. This second point is no longer there, yes?
Yes, agreed.
18. Mm-hmm. That's to reorganize council and then bring me from there to become after consultation.
Okay.
Again. Page 22.
Sorry, Chair, before we step off, just the correction of the spelling on page 18, line 1, protocols instead of.
Protocols.
Yeah, instead of protocols. Yes. It's not reflected in the document.
And then page 22, page 24, mark. This is me. What's explained? And then 57, 97. Of to the place of four. Is to the place of three. And then place 25. From line 15 to 60, we believe.
Yeah.
As the same as the one we have to do the discussion on the other page. Mm-hmm. And then there were the 2 and 4. Page 32. We need to and insert with the four. Number four.
Yeah. Okay.
And I will begin with that one, which I really don't know if I explain, I'm going to confuse me and you. So let's take it as three on the left. Okay?
Yes.
And then short title commencement after short title. Very much. I put the bill to you and the amendment from the civil committee for
adoption.
ANC promote it.
Independent
democracy.
Yes.
Yeah. My nerves are
very
much. Page 2, we therefore present to you the report of the Portfolio Committee on Health and the Health Profession and DCMG, National Assembly Center, and the Portfolio Committee on Health has been presented by Health Profession Amendment DCMG 2006, National Assembly Center, amended by the NCOP. And refer to the committee report that it has agreed to the bill. Agreed to?
Agreed to.
Thank you very much.
Extension to the bill.
Of course, after the fact. Thank you very much, Honorable Member. The meeting is declared closed. I hope this is. Thank you very much. Attention to the PA record. Am I right to hear?
Yes.
He didn't write it. Thank you very much. Meeting is declared closed. Sit down. Honorable Mr. Nala, I'm
Chair, then, I don't mean to cause arguments, but just from our perspective, we're still going to take it to our caucus. I know they're technical amendments, and I don't expect, you know, huge controversy. The fact of the matter is, I cannot say what the caucus is going to decide, and therefore the mic wants us to speak in the House about these amendments. But for now, until the caucus has made a decision, the DA requests a debate, and obviously Sandy is our whip in the programming meeting, and she will then related. If we do change our mind, we will then relate to the necessary people. Thank you.
Chairperson, the DA would like to debate it. The amendments are significant. We would like to have an opportunity to express the DA's view on it after it's been discussed with caucus. The one about... thank you. The inclusion of the role of the investigating officer is quite significant. Yes, but the way it's now laid out, there are other issues that the DA has about this bill, which my predecessor had raised in committee and in the debate that we would like to reiterate. Well, it's scheduled to be debated on Tuesday, on the 21st, and at the programming meeting last week, I was told that 60 minutes would be allocated to the debate.
We are in The DA debated this thing, and we can put their answers in order to debate. They now want to give five. But they could not sustain the growth in this and in that now. That's why I'm saying that we are only a very slippery growth that is not going to sustain. And for the first time, the rest, some of us are both, it's not in the current fight, and we have, but at some point, we are going to fall. It's a very much situation. It's very, very much in the world. And that makes me different. I remember Rick engaging the previous one, and he would like to be here. Is that a sustainable thing? I think senior members, I think they are going to create, and I'm sure this was the case. What are we saying?
The other thing that surprises me is the DA for now is abstaining from all the processes for now. Now they want to revoke a debate again against something that they are saying they are abstaining from it. What are they trying to say at the end of the day? I don't think, Chair, honestly, we are going to debate this bill. It has been debated extensively. Public hearings have been done extensively, so on this bill. Therefore, we rather go to a vote or what is it, right here. But I don't really understand this confusion that the DA is trying to cause to all of us, including other opposition parties here. Thank you.
That's fine. That's a process question. We will be ready by
next week to put all the things into a document in the bill. That's right, right? Okay.
Huh?
Chairperson, I think I have the right of response. I think it's first of all, I'd like to express my concern at your unfortunate comments. This is a democracy. And if the GA wishes to express an opinion, I think as the chairperson, you should be unbiased. Not to say that we're here to cause trouble, that you're in for a rough ride, and it's quite laughable, our intentions, I think it's very unfortunate. Secondly, we don't want to revoke the debate, ma'am. I don't know what you're talking about. We want to revive the debate. Naturally, there are certain points that my predecessor has made, which again, as I said, we would like to reiterate. The reason we abstain, madam, if you know rules of procedure, is that these amendments were introduced to us today. We are here at our caucuses, they've asked us to be here. We cannot vote on something that we haven't taken back to them. I think you will agree with that. So this is the only reason that we have abstained. Technically, I find no problem with whatever has been proposed. But I'm not sitting here in my personal capacity. I'm sitting here as a representative of the DA. And it is only right and fair for me to take it back. So that's the reason that we have abstained. You are most welcome to respond, but as I said, I find it unfortunate that as a chairperson you start making personal comments, it doesn't get us off on the right foot. We have to work in a collegial manner here. Now, if the DA is to vote on the debate and we're not allowed to debate, then I will call for a declaration. Either way, we're going to have it.
Yeah, Chair, I tend to believe that we have got consensus that there is no need of a debate. And the DA is intending to have a debate, but they have communicated to us that they've got no position on this particular legislation. They're still going to get mandate. So by now I can guess that they don't know whether they need a debate or not, because they still need to caucus with the DA caucus and to request a debate when they've got no mandate, as they say to us. I think it is a little bit conservative and frustrating to our side. And one will recommend that we sustain the consensus. Otherwise, then I subscribe to the voting today. I've got a feeling that we don't necessarily need the debate. We have done it before, and we have read the confidence in the debate stands.
Any other comments?
It's on the program. Parliament was expecting a debate on it. It's been programmed. It's scheduled for next Tuesday for 60 minutes. I don't know what the problem is.
May I just raise a point aside?
And sometimes those rules do not necessarily always suit all of us at all the time. Otherwise, it's no longer democracy but anarchy. I think democracy has got rules. Anywhere in the world, you can just take a quick scan of all the democracies. There are certain rules and precepts that are prescribed in any democracy. Similarly, therefore, in a portfolio committee of this nature, we have rules, we have got precedents. As I'm saying that here we are, we debated this bill, and I think that's why I was just following very carefully what are the issues. It was quite telling, Honorable Kalyan, to say my honorable members, my predecessor, had certain issues, and I would like to re-raise those issues. That's on the record. You said it, yeah?
Yes.
And so you actually, that's why I'm saying you want to re-invoke what you could not sustain then. You are not saying there are issues only arising now, but the issues you yourselves, you may not have succeeded then, you want to revise now. And all what I'm saying, therefore, that the view of this portfolio, and I want to communicate this, the view of this portfolio committee that there should be no debate. If you therefore so wish that you call for a declaration in the House, well and good, we'll deliberate with it there. This committee will report, will deal the amendments of the NSOP as adopted, and will equally report the abstentions of the DA, and that we are of the view that there is no debate. Thank you very much.